What could be more glorious than God telling you, you are pardoned? What could be more glorious than God paying the price for sinners and telling you that you have access to live in his kingdom? And what could be more glorious than not us transforming ourselves, but him transforming us from dust and ashes to a resurrected body, glorious like Christ, and living in his kingdom and glory? This is the glory of God, hidden right now in his people. And until then, Paul says, we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory, and we let that light shine.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. March 2nd, 2025. 2 Corinthians 3:7-18.
You've probably seen how the rich and famous will sometimes travel for important events, or maybe people that are celebrating something like a wedding. It's the custom for them to travel in something like a limousine. And what is it about a limousine that seems so appealing to people? Is it the all-white or all-black finish? Is it the fact that the person driving you is wearing a tuxedo? Or maybe it's the dark line of tinted windows obscuring what's inside. Sometimes we might see a limousine driving by. I saw one as I was going down the Beeline Highway pass me by. And you just wonder, what's it hiding? Who's inside? Is there someone great in there? Maybe a famous musician or a celebrity or a sports player? Does someone ever approach the Bible as if it has darkly tinted windows and it's obscuring something inside? Maybe they look at it and they wonder, it's I know it's got something glorious, people are impressed by it, but what's it all about? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are those who stare at the scriptures and their hearts are veiled, their minds are veiled, and they can't see the true glory of what's inside the Word of God, the new covenant. And today we see how that glory is revealed. Is it something that's hidden and yet God makes known in a wonderful way? Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He's referring here to a time which we just read earlier when Moses received what we call the Old Covenant. Recall how when Moses came before the Lord and stood in the presence of God and received that Sinai covenant, the Ten Commandments, the commands and regulations given to Israel, he went and came and talked to the people afterwards, and it says his face was radiant. And in fact, Moses wasn't even aware of this. And when he found out, he found it fitting that the people might see the shining glory, even though they couldn't stand to continue to look at it. After all, isn't the law given at Sinai glorious? The people have a covenant relationship with their God. They're described as the people who would be a priest before the world. The law at Sinai, given to the people of Israel, is glorious. It set them apart from all other nations to be a nation of priests. And they, of all people, received the word of God. That certainly was something glorious. And it was fitting that Moses would let them see the shining glory radiating from his face, reflecting the glory of God. And yet Paul points out that Moses, after he spoke with the people, veiled his face. Why would he want to cover that glory? Paul reveals it's because Moses knew that as great as the glory of the old covenant was, that was a glory that would eventually be fading away from his face. And the glory of the old covenant was not the end all, not the final word of God's glory. Yes, it was glorious. But the new covenant, the all-surpassing covenant, given before the covenant Sinai even, would far exceed the glory of the covenant that the people had just been given. And so he veiled his face. You know, the truth is, when people look at the Word of God, sometimes the glory of the law is sometimes all they really focus on, and they fixate on it. Like children staring at a limousine that's driving by, and they're just so impressed with the glory of the law that it's all they can pay attention to. And they wonder, could I ever be so great? Could I ever ride in such a thing as that limousine driving by? Could I ever behold and have the glory of God given in the law? And the Apostle Paul points out to this day, when Moses is read, the people of Israel have that veil over their face and they're staring fixated on the glory of the law. You could argue even to this day, modern day observant Jews will fixate on the glory of the law given at Sinai. And more than that, many religions around this world fixate on the glory of doing and keeping and observing the law. Consider how the pillars of Islam refer to submission. Consider how the faith of the LDS Church says you will attain perfection by obedience. Glory is found in keeping the law. We have a church in town, and I'm not going to judge them for this, but they put out a tagline, and their tagline is, love God and love your neighbor. That's good. That's glorious. But is that the only glory? Because that's the law. If that's all we have, looking at merely keeping and doing and observing, do we have anything more glorious than what many have as they try to obtain perfection? As they come up to the doors of God's holiness and they ask the driver if they can hop in, will they gain access? Will they have glory? Sadly, we can too fixate on this glory, so much so that it starts to veil our hearts and it creeps in the idea that the law is what is truly glorious for the church. And we might say, be like Jesus, and this is what the church really needs. And parents might think, I just need to teach my children how to behave and to live a good life. And that's a degree of glory, yes, but it will fall short of the glory we really desire, our true hope. And Paul says, what happens if we fixate on that and all we have is the law? We're missing the truth, the real glory. When people look at the Christian church and they see us as conveying, this is what makes us glorious. We have the commands and we keep the commands. If that is the message we send to the world around us, we have to put a veil in front of something glorious. Paul says, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Their minds were made dull, and the old covenant is not, the veil is not removed, because only in Christ is that veil taken away. If we rely and keep the glory of the law, we're missing a far greater, far surpassing glory. And that's what Paul says we have. He says, whenever anyone turns to Christ, turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. How is the veil lifted up? It's like the windows on the limousine coming down, the door opening up, and the invitation is spoken. This is glorious, yes, but I invite you, who cannot afford it, who has no right to enter, to receive the keys and to come in. The law is surpassed with the glory of Christ as he fulfills it for us. How is the veil taken away? Paul says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we have unveiled faces as the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, causes us to see something far greater than merely keeping the commands which we fail to keep, and attaining glory on our own right, which we would never attain. The Spirit opens our eyes to see that we are sinners. And the veil is lifted off our hearts as we experience the terror and the awesomeness of the law, and yet the glory of God who shows us Christ. And when the Spirit opens our hearts and opens our minds to see the glory of Christ, there we see something altogether marvelous. In order that we might attain the glory of God, He came in holiness for us. He didn't come in a fancy limousine, but he came in human flesh, humbled himself. And yet he kept that law perfectly. We know this is true as we read earlier, that scene on the mountain as Jesus is standing there, his face shining like the sun, his body bright as light, people knowing that he is the true Christ, the disciples see and witness and testify, we have seen his glory. We beheld the glory of the one and only. And the Father spoke from heaven saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. He is the one who perfectly kept the law, who had every right to ride in the glory of God's kingdom. And he is the one who stepped in the place of sinners. The glory of God is not seen merely in his commands, but it is seen in his Son, who went down from that mountain, veiling his glory. And he hid the shining glory of the light of his face as he appeared in human flesh. And the holy, innocent Son of God kept that law in our place. This is the glory of God, the Son of God, keeping that new covenant on the cross, shedding his blood and sealing the covenant for us, declaring us free. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we are bold, and we who have unveiled faces have freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, and where the veil is taken away, there is now freedom. Not the obligation or the fear to keep the law, but freedom and access to God's kingdom. And there is transformation." He says, "We who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, who contemplate the cross, who contemplate the victory won by Christ, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord." Just as Jesus revealed himself as glorious on that mountain, the scriptures say that he is now taking you. And no, we don't transform ourselves into glory. It says we are being transformed as God makes us holy and blameless for the sake of Christ, as God gives us a new covenant which far surpasses the covenant at Sinai. And he declares you his child. He declares you having freedom and access to his throne. What could be more glorious than God telling you you are pardoned? What could be more glorious than God paying the price for sinners and telling you that you have access to live in his kingdom? And what could be more glorious than not us transforming ourselves, but him transforming us from dust and ashes to a resurrected body, glorious like Christ, and living in his kingdom and glory? This is the glory of God, hidden right now in his people. And until then, Paul says, we are being transformed with ever-increasing glory, and we let that light shine. Now, we are not free so that we can merely trample over his law or disregard it. No, we are free to observe his law in thanksgiving. We are free to now share his love. We are free to reflect the glory of Christ as we now live for him and love God and love our neighbor. But the true glory behind it all is not the limousine or the dark windows of the law. No, it's the one that they reveal, the one who steps from inside, Christ, the one who invites us in to his glory. This is our final epiphany moment as we look and close our epiphany season. Glory is hidden, hidden right now in us, hidden in the gospel, in order that it will be revealed when Christ comes again in glory. Amen.